listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.
We have big echo. One more time. We are in Maui today. And Jonathan is with me, and Stephanie is with me also, which I'm very happy because normally I'm in LA studio alone or with my guests, and Jonathan is mostly in Maui, but right now we are together, all together. Scott Early pretty well soon will be with us also. We have DJ Valet also with us soon, I think 6:30. But the most important thing is that I think we have better weather than Los Angeles. What can I say? Ilona Europa is very happy in Maui. It's just cooler. Everybody's love is cooler. It's cooler than Los Angeles. Anyway, like always, we would love to try give to everybody some nice optimistic message from John Johnson. Today he will be speaking on the topic pursuit on personal excellence. And I think we'll be having 5 minutes with John Johnson and then we'll go straight to our guests. Okay, Ronan, you are helping us today. Then yes, we can listen to John Johnson's message for today.
Hello everyone, and thank you for listening to Accent On. This is John Johnson for Firefly, Igniting the Soul. You know, I believe that words are the world. They have meaning, and by the virtue of the fact that they have meaning, words have power. And the two words that I think have the most power are I am. Because whatever we put after them becomes our own reality. And every successful achiever that I've ever known or worked with has told me, my life turned around when I began to believe in me. You see, there's nothing more satisfying than looking back at who you are now and realizing that you've grown so much more than you ever thought you could. Because to be human, to be really human, is to achieve greatness, to live to our highest potential, and to become the best versions of ourselves that we possibly can. And how do we do that? We do that through the pursuit of personal excellence. In every field, people are looking for excellence. And when you're excellent, people notice it. They see it and they notice it. Because excellence is not an exception, but rather it's more of a prevailing attitude to expect more of yourself than is asked of you. And the difference between being extraordinary versus ordinary is as simple as the difference between the two words. Extraordinary people are committed to doing the extra things that ordinary people won't. So how is it that we go about creating personal excellence in our own lives? Well, I've established 5 core principles resulting in my own growth, which I'm going to share with you guys today on Firefly. And I hope that you'll find these 5 steps to be as useful to you as they have been to me over the years. So the 5 steps are this. The first one is believe in yourself. Self-belief is the utmost important step. Because if you don't believe in yourself, how do you expect anyone else to believe in you either? If you want to achieve greatness, you have to first believe that you're capable of doing it. Know that there is no one else but you who can attain what you want to do. Number 2, get out of your comfort zone. When you're out of your comfort zone, you're already growing by default. And the comfort zones are called comfort zones for a reason. It's because it's where you feel safe and comfortable. But when you stay in an area of comfort, you subject yourself to things you've become accustomed to, which really leads to no growth or for personal excellence. So push yourself outside your comfort zone every opportunity that you have. Step number 3, Surround yourself with the best. Another one of my favorite principles is this. You are the average of the five people you hang around with the most. So who are you with has a big role in affecting who you become. If you hang around people who are committed to excellence, who set themselves up to achieve nothing but the best, you're going to emerge a much different person compared to if you hang around people who are jaded and are constantly complaining about life and acting like victims. So cut yourself loose from people who don't support you and increase your contact with the people who do. Step number four, learn to set huge goals. An emphasis on the word huge, not the normal standard goals which you know you'll achieve easily. I'm talking about the humongous goals which make you very nervous on whether or not you're even able to attain them. You know, and even if you don't eventually get to nail these goals in the bag, the most important thing to realize is to focus on the amount of growth that you get and don't be attached to the specific kind of work. Because the work doesn't define who you are. You see, your respect doesn't come from the kind of work that you do. It comes from the way you do your work. And the final step is learn to say no. The very reason that I'm here today is because I said no to many other things along the way, things which I felt didn't support my dreams. So let me share another one of my personal life principles. Before you say yes to others, make sure that you're not saying no to yourself. I said no to my previous careers in healthcare, higher education, and management. Now don't get me wrong, I love the jobs, I love the people, I love the environments, but I love my passion more. I love helping others to grow, and I love pursuing my purpose in life. I've learned to say no to friendships, which were holding me back, and I've said no to many activities which I felt were very unimportant. If something doesn't have a purpose to it and seems like a waste of my time, I don't participate in it. And you need to learn to maximize every moment you have doing things you love and things which are important to you. And just a quick touch point on some of our listeners who might be going through some type of struggle that you think may be holding you back from achieving personal excellence. You have to understand that your struggle may be an opportunity for advancement and promotion. And that the very thing that you're fighting against so tenaciously today may in fact be the springboard that catapults you into a whole new level of excellence. So your challenge may become your greatest assets. You know, it's your life, it's your one and only life, so take excellence very personally. Because excellence is a choice, and you must make that choice over and over again until doing your best is all you know. To share your own experiences in the pursuit of personal excellence, go to the John Johnson official fan page on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter at John's Cat. That's J-O-N-S-C-A-T at John's Cat. For Firefly, Igniting the Soul, this is John Johnson. Live your life like your dreams are real. Now back to the studio with our excellent hosts, Alana and Jonathan.
Oh, how much we like John Johnson.
Well, we like John Johnson a lot.
You know, and it's not easy to put stuff like that together. You know, we think we know the days of that. We know how to live life to be our best. But really, sometimes really life is going like through our fingers. How we call it, it passes us by. And we sometimes are making our decision about every day, day to day, you know, work on ourselves. And we are giving our power to somebody else to decide what is right or wrong for us. And I think we really, really, I agree with John Johnson so much, you know, that saying no to a lot of things in life is the biggest, I think, talent that we need to learn very fast. If not, we'll be overwhelmed by people who just not only taking advantage of us, sometimes we're just giving ourselves too much and we do not have time to just be better for ourselves. And sometimes, like John Johnson said, yeah, 2 years ago, you were excellent in something and you didn't profit then of anything what you were doing. But one day you wake up and what's happened? You know, things that was not happening 2 years ago, today, you know, it's changing to some great, great stuff in our lives. And I really, really encourage also everybody to try to be excellent. I know we are working very hard to be one, Jonathan, my husband, he's like the biggest workaholic and always everything needs to be perfect. When it comes to my dear Stefan, you tell me how much you have traveled to do anything wrong. You need to be just so perfect, and it's just so sweet because you are so young, but the responsibility of trying to get the personal excellence in everything what you do is sometimes almost too much. I'm like, honey, you are so smart, so good, so just let it go. You are better than anybody else, especially in your age, but you are fighting for the personal excellence, you know, then why are you doing that?
Oh, you know, I think in part, you know, my parents always told me to try to be the best that I could be, and I'm a bit of a control freak, and so if I can control everything and make everything perfect, then everything will be okay, and even though it usually isn't.
And you are like sick to your stomach. If something is not how you thought you're supposed to do, are giving yourself the highest level of perfection, and then you ask, you are not happy if you don't achieve. Sometimes I think you are so young. I think you are too good. When it comes to my husband, he's just working too hard, and his personal excellence, you know, this is like a barrier that I almost don't wish to anybody. And I know that John Johnson is one of those persons too who just goes in his life is something that the most important for him, and way how he goes about them is the most beautiful, gentle and sweet, and no pushy, no hard, it's just friendly. Husband, what type of you, what type of character you have when it comes to your personal excellence, achieving your personal excellence, honey?
Oh, I call this the dictator. That's just it. It's the dictator.
Yeah.
And I know what's right. But I'm absolutely certain. If I'm wrong, I'm still right. So everybody better do it my way or get out of my way.
In a way, I agree with you, because many years ago, I was observing you and your despotic way sometimes, and I was like worried that people maybe will not appreciate you. And many, many times, people are just angry with you because you are so despotic when it comes to decision-making. But more and more, you know, 20-some years with, you know, each other and working on many different businesses, you're right. You can cut a lot of trouble by really speaking with what you feel is right for you, because you already work hard to get to this point that your personal excellence in what you wanted to achieve was already work hard into your daily, you know, knowledge, and now you just want people to follow what you want them to do. And then no, it's not an option yet.
This will sound even worse than what you're saying, but in my opinion, in general, groupthink and compromise are tools that are best used in systems full of mediocrity. So if you have a mediocre group or a mediocre board or a mediocre team or a mediocre whatever, you need a lot of groupthink and a lot of people compromising in order to get some new idea out. But if you have people in a system who everybody recognize as excellent and who are perfect for their job, when you groupthink and compromise those people, you take away that which they would have given.
Yeah.
And this is all part of the new America, new world, new open borders thinking, where things that should be normal are no longer normal. There, people want everybody to be positive and upbeat and helpful. In fact, the entire concept of LA Talk Radio is built on a positive message. John Johnson's world is all positive, but in reality, the other side of positive is considered to be negative, or demeaning, or degrading, or low, or mean, or rotten. And to me, the two sides of the scale are reality and positive, not negative and positive. And anybody who talks about reality is seen in a negative way instead of instead of the realistic way. And people who are speaking the truth or reality and bringing up problems are considered to be downers.
Right.
And I have a problem with the people who have a problem with reality.
Yeah, but we are talking in a way about two different things. I think what we are trying to do with John Johnson and people who just spread the good news about how to be better, positive, just send a message of not only good, but, you know, just being better, every day better for yourself. It's something completely different, because you can build the good things, even in business, in the workplace, when you just come to your life, open your eyes, and you just thinking that life can be good. You can change so much in your life instead of being like overwhelmed by negative. Isn't that sometimes the reality of the day brings to you? You wake up, you know, in the morning, you all have this to do, I need to go there, I need to do, and you are overwhelmed by what the day can bring. But anyway, you know, I have always, I'm very thankful, and we are, because John Johnson will be soon in our studio, will be having Right to Talk to Him back and forth. And I know that he's giving us a lot of ways of thinking about, you know, how life could be better for all of us. And that's why we are thankful to have John with us and just making us think and just start the day with a little better message and feeling better about ourselves or our decisions that we are making. Oh, my gosh, who came today? Oh,
speaking of people who
perfection.
You shouldn't compromise with and who are already perfect and who you don't mess with, we have in the studio, which is no longer a studio, but actually the top deck of Fleetwood's on Front Street in beautiful Lahaina Town, downtown Maui, Scott Liebfried, celebrity chef, and one heck of a nice guy.
And
Scott, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm well today. I always like showing up here and having people say wonderful things to me and about me. It's not the typical norm for my daily life.
We were talking today with John Johnson about how we are pursuing, how we're supposed to pursue our own personal excellence. And John was mentioning about we need to just, and I like this part, we need to just say no to many things in life to have a time to pursue our own excellence and just work on yourself. And I think you are this amazing, amazing guy who just, you just know. I like Jonathan, and you decide what is right for you, and it's no place for no. You just need to do what is right for you. You can say no to everybody, but your yes is your yes. You know, I want this way. I don't want to listen, because over the years you learn that you need to listen to yourself, and you're perfect. You are perfect. What you are doing, then you know. I think some people need to own their own greatness and personal excellence because. A lot of people just don't trust themselves. I think you are one of those guys that you understand perfectly what you know, why you are here in this world, what makes you happy. And I'm sure privately you have some questions, but in a lot of points of your life, you just know what you want from life and how to make yourself happy. And how did you get to this point that you don't doubt in yourself as so much? When you, I think you feel you are perfectly excellent guy, what you are doing.
It takes a long time to get to that point. I think you have to make the mistakes just like everybody else. But I think once you start taking the chances and making different decisions and you learn from your mistakes, that's when you start knowing what it is that you want to do and whom you really want to be and what you really stand for. So I think it takes a long time, but I think you have to partially be trial by fire to see what happens. And if you get burned or something doesn't go right, you make a different decision. But I think that a lot of things in life are repetitive, too. So some of the decisions are the same. Once you've made them, it's a lot easier. You know, you always hesitate the right decision for any kind of situation. But once you take the chance and make a stand, then it gets easier. And then you actually are more satisfied with yourself and happier with yourself.
And what can I say? I'm here in the restaurant, which is just ice. I saw after 1 month, and what an amazing difference. A month ago, we had the same show on the top of the roof of McPickle's restaurant on the Front Street, and it was a little dusty. It was not decorated yet or not finished, and right now, what is so amazing, I just finished lunch, and everybody can say, oh, my gosh, you're lucky one, because, yes, I had a fish and chips, and Scott is like the king of that. See, I just love it. You know, sometimes I'm coming to also to Santa Barbara to
Arch Rock Fish,
which obviously that's the restaurant that Scott Richards also owns. And that's when I was just fell in love with his way of cooking. I had the chance to try a lot of stuff. And today, yes, I got lucky. People love your food. It's just so delicious and healthy. I know they will have
interesting discussion of perfection, which we were having, because Scott is an absolute perfectionist to the point of not often wanting to do a sauce with a dish for fear that it will cover the perfection of the dish and its natural flavor itself when properly created and cooked. And a lot of us over here were worried that it was going to be considered to be too plain and simple. And there was fear and paranoia in the two camps of keep it simple and perfect from the Scott camp. And make it foo-foo and wonderful so people don't think it's bland. from the other camp. And there were a lot of pretty strong personalities there. And opening night, we heard person after person, after 2 years of Scott planning, person after person say, oh, my God, unprompted, what do you think of this, the food? Oh, my God, it's so wonderful. I have these fish tacos. And normally they're all covered with sauces and stuff. This fish is so good, and I've never had a piece of fish like this. And Scott, thank God, thank you. But the night before, he was going, look, whatever I have to do to make it work, I'll make it work, but I don't want to change my perfection. So sometimes when you have the inverse is also true. If all the people in your organization are perfect, then you do have to go back to compromise. And you have to let the people who are perfect in their little sphere continue to be perfect in their sphere.
You know, because we are in this gorgeous restaurant, there is so much music. You know, we are listening to rock, we are listening to pop, we are listening to 70s, we are having this amazing food that is just pure and is a lot of ingredients inside. But when you really eat, you taste all of them separately, but they together, they give you this special taste. And it's really like almost making a song, making music. You have so many instruments, you know, that are playing the song, and you can hear it. The guitar, you can hear piano, but then, you know, the taste of the good song, good hit, and personal perfection, excellence that Scott, you are bringing to our taste buds is just so special that it's like almost hit, you know, that you are eating, but the song you want to hear over and over, which means you are coming back, coming back. And I know I'm talking, you're supposed to, and soon you'll be talking about that, and then a little bit later with Dr. DJ Verrett, because we really want to create some type of recipes or plans for us from morning till night, maybe two or three different the type of food that both of you, Doctor and Scott, will agree that it's tasty, doesn't need to be overwhelming our stomach, it's pure, it's not too salty, not too sweet, not over sugar, but still it's just great cooking that we will know I can make this in home. Okay, then today I really would like to, if Scott can say, because I tried yesterday so many wonderful things and people love the food that you are serving, explain me the mushroom, explain me the fish, explain me that you gave me yesterday the bread, the flatbread.
I'm going to start with the fish. When a mommy and a daddy fish love each other very, very much.
Okay.
That would be alone at her personal excellence to give Jonathan a rib.
Okay, now we're in the same position. We need to still fight. Never would be acting on without each other.
On the radio?
On the radio,
in
yes.
front of all these people?
That's what we do.
So who's right?
Our personal excellence says that you both are right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We just had a breakthrough.
We just had
a breakthrough.
I'm in mistake.
It's recorded. It's out to about 500,000 people.
Okay, but coming back to Scott, you know, Scott, you just need to a little bit bring us closer to how to just, if you get a good fish in the store, what are you doing that your amazing, amazing fish and chips are so amazing? Is that not like in Minnesota, greasy, no. And you eat them, you feel like they're tasty, but then your stomach is heavy, and then, I don't want to say burp, but you burp. Cannot burp after your food. It's just pure. I'm sorry.
Well, that's it for Scott Lee, free celebrity chef. The mark of excellence from Maloney Ropa. I never burp after your food. We'll be back after these words. No, Scott, I think what my charming wife is trying to say is, how come your stuff tastes so good?
And doesn't hurt my stomach ever.
And she never burps.
Yeah, never
with
burps.
You.
Not in front of me anyway.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know. Why does it taste good? We just, we trust the vendors that we work with. We know that they're giving us what we need. Their quality standards are as high as ours. And if it isn't or it isn't right, we don't serve it. So if we don't agree with it, then it doesn't get served. And from there, it's just, you know, proper cooking techniques, seasoning.
Wait. So
it's the humble.
How come everybody else to the left and right of us uses the same vendor, but people are not screaming, oh, my God, this food is incredible? So something different is happening here. Are you picking a better piece of fish before somebody else is, or are you cooking it better, or what's up?
I think we're striving for a little bit better than everybody else is what I think it is. You know, in our recipes and our preparation, we're not in this scenario so island-centric like a lot of other places are. So I think people are happy to see something different and something that's a little bit more familiar to them. But it's just taking the time to do it a little bit better than the other people would do. If it's a grilled piece of fish, then it's a fresh brush of lemon juice and olive oil and lemon zest afterwards to just give it a light enhancement. The pores of the fish are open when it's hot, so anything that gets put on it when it's hot is absorbs into it And then as it cools, it has an additional layer of flavor and moisture added to it, just by taking one simple step.
When we have hamburgers in home, or when we are going to, I don't know, say food chains, or even good restaurants with good hamburger, I know that everything's really greasy, and I don't believe people mix meat in a hamburger. I think it's like one type of meat, but whatever you are doing, I know that your hamburger and one of them cost like $35,000, yes, which means to explain what happened. And I'm not lying, John, I will say that's another personal experience of this restaurant. You can eat hamburger for $35,000, you know, that would
well, you can also eat a $15 hamburger.
Yeah, but that's, you know.
Have plenty of those.
And the $35,000 hamburger comes with a heck of a side.
And with Jonathan, we've seen this is the coolest things ever in this restaurant. Anyway, but yeah, you're mixing different types of meats together, yes, in hamburger.
What's in the hamburger here?
Well, I will not. I'll give you a little bit, but I'm not going to give you all of it. We do a burger blend that's from various parts of the animal in order to offer different flavors and different fat contents, which result in different moisture as well as different flavor. We've been told over and over that our hamburger just tastes like a steak.
It's better than a steak because a steak has a hard consistency.
Yeah, it's gonna be dry.
And the thing that's wonderful about it, I haven't had a burger like this since I was growing up. I'm going to date myself now. In the San Fernando Valley, there used to be a chain called Diamond Jim Brady's, and it was right at the 405 and the 101 on Ventura Boulevard. And Diamond Jim's used to have a hamburger steak, and it was, mushroom sauce on the side because the steak was so good. Sometimes you didn't want to have the mushroom sauce.
Nice.
And it had that kind of crusty outside. It was just a hamburger, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the top was seared so tightly that you felt the crust. You could watch the hamburger bend when you went into it. Like if you have a hash browns or corned beef hash and the top got a little crust on it. And the flavor was locked into that steak, and it just oozed out of the thing. And I can remember being a little kid and begging my folks to go to Diamond Jim's because I wanted that hamburger steak. It was one of the cheapest things on the menu, but it was perfection.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so well done, so well seasoned, and the quality level was so high. So, it's not a steak. The consistency of ground beef is a killer taste on the taste book. Somebody left last night and called me. He runs a taxi service, and he was in here, dropped somebody off, and he said, "Oh, I guess I'll stay." And I said, "Well, let me get you the burger." He called me afterwards. "Don't tell anybody this, and please don't tell my wife." But it was so good that I'm not brushing my teeth tonight. I hope I can get a caraway seed left or some caught somewhere for another little morsel. But you are perfection embodied. The work that comes out of your mind and your kitchen is above the cut, and yet you're this humble dude from New York. And
I ran into a couple of my own last night too.
I saw that. What tip can you give the world about cooking that it's so far cut above, and your answer to everything is, "Oh, it's simple. I put a little salt on it." I don't get it. What are you doing?
I think
little lemon zest.
Well,
salt.
I guess what comes down to, from a professional point of view is that, most chefs just want to cook great food, and God bless them for the people that want to do that, and I admire them completely. But we also have a responsibility to a business and a profitable business and making money. You have to take all of that into the equation when you start to develop and build something and brand something, because it has to work from both sides. I guess just after, a lifelong involvement in restaurant and being a chef at this point and traveling a lot and seeing a lot of different things, you just know what works and what doesn't work. And then sometimes you experiment. Sometimes you stay on the path that you should be on. But, I don't really know what it makes it better. It's hard for me to judge that my own self. I'm sure my wife can tell me a little bit more. I don't look at it like that. I look at it that, I have an amazing piece of fish or an amazing piece of meat, and I'm going to do a couple little things to it like this and that, and that's going to be it. So, it comes down to the balance of everything, too. Cooking is building layers. Much like building a house, you start with a foundation and you have walls and windows and roof and sheetrock, and cooking is the same way. So if you layer your flavor profiles correctly, you don't need very many of them in order for something to taste great.
And I love so much also. I think we'll be having soon a DJ, a Dr. DJ Berg on the phone with us. Maybe he's even right now, but we're supposed to get a message from Ronan to find out if DJ already is calling from Dallas. But I know that the two wonderful guys, one doctor, one amazing chef, you know, they can give us amazing advices about how to not overstyle, how to not overcook, how to just not be afraid of using new ingredients and herbs, especially. But still, you know, that when you eat, you still know what you are eating, instead of knowing that, okay, that has this seasoning, and then inside it just is, I think that's the art. And so, yeah, Jonathan, cool.
I believe we have on our line with us Dr. DJ Verrett. And DJ, can you hear us?
I can hear you, and I've been listening along, and my mouth, I can tell you, is watering from all the talk of hamburgers there.
Oh, my God, DJ. In fact, we're going to have to fly you out here, because we'll need you with Scott over here. You want to come to the grand opening, DJ? You want to join us over here?
I would love to.
Mick Fleetwood and Steven Tyler.
It sounds amazing.
John Johnson's coming. Wow, would that be a good show? Live from Fleetwood on Front Street, everybody in one place.
I would love that. We can really make great accent on, and just you can try all this food. DJ, I know that my dream eventually is to do some very good recipes or just explain how to really in the morning wake up and just knowing what is the right decision, but not the normal decision that everybody says, dude, you know, it's just whatever, oatmeal only. That's really, really something what I don't want to hear. I want my breakfast to be like I'm queen of England. Oh, I don't know if breakfast is England, but I want to feel special, you know, and I don't want something to be so heavy on my stomach. I want to go through all day knowing that my taste, it was fulfilled, and I know that Scott can do it. I know that you also have a certain ways of describing what is good food, what is bad food for us. And I know after today, Accent On, which we have our five different myths, will be probably creating a few Accent Ons with this type of day-to-day how-to use your kitchen to your advantage. But right now, you need to say yes to it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I guess you're coming to Hawaii this month.
First, you need to come to Hawaii, and second, you, of course, will be creating recipe, because eventually the book is coming. Great recipe and great, you know, understanding how to be healthy from Dr. Didier Verrett and, of course, Scott Lefritid, and I cannot wait. This will be a big success, I know. But right now, we have a few...
But before we get into DJ Scott questions here... DJ and Scott, I'm going to throw a loop at you. I can't figure this out, and I found the miracle product, and I need to understand this from you guys.
Why. Because we have a segment in the beginning of Accent On which we forgot. We forgot to bring back to the Accent On. But Jonathan was doing a short segment, which I call this Gadget Man, because my husband is for sure Gadget Man. He always finds something in the store so unusual that you don't know why it works. For sure, he enjoys still using. And today, a week ago, you found some another product that you, Dr. DJ, and of course, Scott will love it, because he can use it in the kitchen or when it's very hot. Why this works, and is it true that even can work? What is this, Jonathan?
All right, boys, here's the story. Apparently, there is soap that is made out of stainless steel. And the stainless steel soap was originally created or utilized for chefs in cooking, because when cutting garlic and onions, the stainless steel, something in stainless, reacts with sulfuric compounds, according to the literature and the research I can do. And it neutralizes them. So you wash your hands with a round piece of stainless steel soap, which imparts some sort of atomic something or other to something or other, which then makes the entire garlic thing on your hand or the onions go away. And you have to do it under running water. It requires the running water and the rubbing of stainless. They have gone from the kitchen to the bathroom and provided bars of stainless that are lightweight, that you use after soap. So you wash your underarms with soap like normal, rinse, and then you take the stainless and you rub it for 30 seconds underwater under your arm. And the result of that, zero deodorant is needed. And at least in my subjective personal test, it's as if you put on a 24-hour
bodyguard thing, and there is no scent. So what up? The literature says this lasts forever, and that you don't need to replace it because the stainless actually rebuilds and pulls what it needs to rebuild stainless from the air, from oxygen. And I'm so lost. Please, please do learned men and men of the kitchen. Have you ever used stainless steel to get rid of onion or?
I've never used. I've seen them before. I've heard a lot of similar things about them. I guess I'm just not up with that.
Oh. Hey, guys. You're breaking up out there. I don't know that.
Hear it?
Jonathan, Ilona?
DJ?
I'm still here. You guys are breaking up a lot over there.
All right, we're going to try and ground for a second. World of technology.
That was a little better.
Hello, can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. Now I can hear you back.
Okay, then I'm not sure much you heard about. Yeah, do you ever use this stainless salt?
You know, I don't, but I would guess there would, if it's true, and I very honestly I have not heard this rumor, but it's usually the sulfur compounds in onions and garlic that cause the smell that you smell, the strong odor that you smell, and can make you cry as well. And what I would guess is there would be something in the stainless steel that actually binds the sulfur compounds, because stainless steel is mostly iron and chromium, and I would assume that there's something in that compound which can bind with the sulfur to end up taking the smell away. But very honestly, I haven't seen any literature on it either way. But I will definitely do some research, and I'll get back to you next week.
Yeah, I will send you a link to this funky product, because trust me, we have everywhere these things in my home, and it's so not appealing. And Jonathan said, go to Amazon and stainless steel salt. Then that's people who listen and people who would like to find out what this is project, that will be great for all of us to know. Okay, but coming back, DJ, we have some myths that we need to resolve for people. And first of them is, do children need a multivitamin? Did we resolve this issue last week completely or not yet?
I don't think we resolved that one just yet.
Yeah, I know we're talking about good vitamins and bad vitamins, but did we really, do we need to give children multivitamins?
You know, there was some research done by the pediatric associations and published in the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine, and about one-third of kids are given multivitamins. But as we bring up, do you really need to give children multivitamins? And the answer is, actually, probably not. The research also suggested that most of the nutritional needs that children have is maintained by a good, balanced diet. And in some cases, the nutrients that they're lacking aren't even in the multivitamins that they take. And in other cases, they can be taking more of certain nutrients that they don't need and can adversely affect their health. So you do need to be very careful with how many vitamins you're actually giving to children.
I'm very happy to hear this, because my doctor, and Natasha's my doctor, he always said, don't do this. You just don't do this. She's a child. You feed her well, and she's really healthy. It's not necessary to give her anything. And right now she's 18, and I still don't believe she had ever multivitamins. And I hope, she doesn't need right now. She's still very active, and it feels good. And, that's okay. We have some myths. Let's not worry about it. Giving children too much vitamins. Honey, we have this question that I think you are very interested, because your mother, I'm talking to Jonathan, because we are breaking up. I don't want air to come and go through our phones, but we are not breaking up. We are still together. But yeah, the another myth, and I know that Jonathan loves this type of question, because his mother loves vitamins. She always knows everything about them. Is, like, can you read, honey?
This is my big one here. DJ, does vitamin E prevent heart disease? And my parenthetical, is there a problem with it when it comes to lung cancer, especially in those who are smokers, current or former? Because I'm hearing or seeing both of those things in just the consumer literature, and that scares me.
And you bring up two very good points, actually. So the first one, let's kind of look at vitamin E and heart disease. And so there have been some large studies of populations looking at vitamin E and its effect on both heart disease and atherosclerosis, or the hardening of the arteries. And actually, it has shown some benefit for taking tocopherols or the vitamin E products and decreasing atherosclerosis. So it's actually a good thing. In addition, there is some literature out there to suggest that vitamin E is helpful in cancer prevention. Now, that is a little more kind of unclear. The reasons behind it are unclear, but there's no evidence out there, no strong evidence at least, to suggest any kind of a worsening of cancer risk whenever you smoke and take vitamin E or take vitamin E alone. Now, an interesting thing about vitamin E, though, is vitamin E is more appropriately termed tocopherol, and there are several different orientations of the tocopherol molecule. And whenever you read vitamin E supplements, you're going to see alpha vitamin E, delta vitamin E, gamma vitamin E, a whole bunch of different letters and numbers that I don't even fully understand all of them. They're Greek to me. But only some of those are actually...
That was pretty funny, the Greek to me, with the alpha, delta, and gamma.
Yeah, I know. I tried. Okay. I worked on that one all...
It worked for me.
I worked on that one all afternoon, so we tried.
It was very good. It wasn't lost on us.
Thanks. Whenever you take it, it seems that the mix of the tocopherols is actually better for you than an isolated tocopherol, because not all of them are absorbed. Not all of them are absorbed to different degrees. And a lot of times you'll take a whole bunch of supplements and it actually won't end up doing anything for you.
Got it. What about niacin? Does this decrease cholesterol or does it not decrease cholesterol?
Excellent question. Niacin absolutely decreases cholesterol. And there's actually a company that formulated a large dose niacin, did large clinical trials, and got FDA approval to sell high dose niacin as a cholesterol lowering medication. Now, the problem is high dose niacin can also cause flushing, to cause you to turn red and itch, and have some side effects associated with it. So you do want to be careful whenever taking high dose niacin, but it absolutely does decrease your cholesterol.
So,
that's
a high dose niacin.
Okay.
But I'm willing to not die from cholesterol and have a little itch now and then. You know, I mean, it's okay.
Well, and there are a lot. I'm sorry.
What about this vitamin D in the sun thing? I'm sitting here in Maui, and what everybody tells me is, please, 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 don't let the sun go near you. Cover yourself with clothing. Wrap yourself in blankets. Slather yourself in sunscreen. Please, whatever you do, don't let the sun come near you. And then there's all these people running around who don't do that and
I'm
seem to be really happy.
And
what about the vitamin thing? Is the vitamin D from the vitamin the same? Then you don't need to be in the sun, or is there a different vitamin D or something? And how does the sun give me a vitamin in my body?
You bring up a whole lot of excellent questions. And my advice to you would be slather up, put on your long sleeves, stay out of the sun as best you can. When you look at vitamin D you absorb it in your body, but it has to be converted by ultraviolet energy to the active form of vitamin D that actually helps with calcium metabolism in the body. And so you need some amount of ultraviolet radiation, or buying the active form of vitamin D and taking it in supplements or milk or one of those other food items to be able to get enough vitamin D. Now, the question always is, well, how much sun exposure do I need? What's kind of the balance between not increasing my risk of skin cancer and looking old at a young age to making sure that I stay healthy and have enough vitamin D? Because there's a lot of research recently that vitamin D is very important. We've already known for osteoporosis, for bone health, and it seems to decrease your risk of certain kinds of cancers, particularly colon cancer. So vitamin D is actually a really good thing. But the question always becomes, how much ultraviolet radiation exposure do you need? And the answer is actually rather complicated. So if you are a fair-skinned Caucasian person near the equator in a tropical environment like Maui, you probably only need 10 to 15 minutes of sun exposure, ultraviolet radiation exposure, to get your vitamin D for the day. And you basically get that by walking around, driving in your car, standing outside while we're talking for the hour here. You'll get plenty enough vitamin D. But if you're in Alaska during the winter and you have darker skin, you're going to need several hours worth of ultraviolet radiation exposure to be able to get enough vitamin D in your body. And so it's kind of a tight walk that you walk there. And what is a good idea, especially for folks as they get older and may not be getting as much sun exposure or be outside quite as much, is to actually do vitamin D blood tests, which your physician can do on a yearly basis, and determine if you're actually producing enough vitamin D. And if not, do something to change it, either maybe a little bit more sun exposure or a vitamin supplement for vitamin D to be able to increase those levels.
So what about the albino Alaskan who happens to be near the equator in the winter?
Oh, come on.
And then about 30 seconds is more than enough for him.
Got it. All right.
I just got prescribed by, again, I think my doctor is, oh, you're a student, or you both just know each other, because everything that you are saying, my doctor tries to advise me a very similar way. And I'm very proud of my doctor right now, hearing from your mouth what you are describing. But, yeah, he just, I don't like to go on the sun. And I did the test, and I got prescription for 2,000 units of
I use,
whatever you call this. To me, it sounds like pretty a lot. And now when I'm in Maui, I do not know going to pile this into my mouth, knowing that for 1 week I practically will be walking, you know, a lot on the sun. Is it something that I'm supposed to right now decrease in time when I'm in Maui? Sorry, I'm asking you the real question.
For more people who are anywhere in a sunny area.
Yeah. Then 2,000 I use, is this a lot, or am I, like, dying, or whether I need to have so much fun, or I need to just bake myself a little bit more? What's wrong with me, doctor?
2,000 IUs is not a very large dose of vitamin D. But as you said, you know, if you've changed your exposure to ultraviolet radiation, then more than likely you can decrease it for a week. And even decreasing it for a week otherwise is not a huge deal. It's going to be okay. But you can most certainly decrease it if you're going to be getting more ultraviolet radiation exposure. The other reality is, whenever you use sunscreen, even with the best sunscreen on, applied absolutely like you should, you're still going to get some ultraviolet radiation breaking through that, because it's not 100% sunblock. So more than likely, even if you put your sunscreen on to minimize your skin cancer risk, your aging risk, you're still going to get enough ultraviolet radiation in the tropical environment to take care of your vitamin D exposure. So still use your sunscreen, or wear long pants, long shirts, and protect yourself from the sun, because you still want to have a high vitamin D dose and not have to worry about skin cancer later on in life.
And my answer to this whole thing in the tropical environment, and certainly in the Texas area you're in, doctor, same kind of thing. It's so dang hot there. It's incredible, Los Angeles, and this is summer for a lot of us. And my answer has been to cut this down the middle. I'm wearing complete long johns plus the footsies, but I've cut off the big toe on each foot, which allows all sun penetration. And I figure if I get cancer on my toe, I'm okay pretty much. You know, they'll amputate and I'll roll
forward a little.
Oh, Jonathan. Okay. I know we have probably one more minute, and I just do, but I cannot. Now I have this vision of you going into the streets with
my soul. That's what's so beautiful about radio, baby.
Oh, people, health. But anyway.
Wearing them right now.
No, you don't.
Like a pig.
I would talk about flip flops. They're not the best for you, Dr. Pat. And please stop using them. Anyway,
love them.
Dr. DJ, yes, before we say bye-bye for this week, I know that next week I would love both of you guys to talk about some nice food options, and especially how to cut calories from my diet and everybody's diet, because that's what makes us fat. And, you know, and it's probably some ways of, yes?
And I'm going to talk, and you guys, if you want to get in on this, you can look it up. I'm going to talk about the technical a marvel that I found called Fitbit, F-I-T-B-I-T, which uses a electronic pedometer that has an altimeter in it for $100. You clip it to your belt, knows if you went upstairs, knows how fast you went upstairs.
Right.
It all downloads to your computer, and then there's a coach, and it starts telling you, you know what, if you walked a little more, if you did a little of this, if you just walk up the stairs a little faster for 5 more minutes, and it tells you, it asks you what your weight goal is. Where do you want to be? And then,
that's what you pay $100 for?
No, you're going to see. We're going to have a discussion about this next week. But I'm telling you guys, it's a wonderful tool. And I believe in my heart that DJ will like it. DJ, if somebody wanted to see you and know what you do, how do they find you?
Check us out, Innovations FPS, like facialplasticsurgery.com. Have more information about us and some links for what we're doing these days.
Beautiful. And for Scott Liebfried, it's, of course, scottliebfried.com, S-C-O-T-T, Lieb, L-E-I-B, as in boy, Fried, F-R-I-E-D.com.
And please, if you want to find us on the Facebook, it's simple, Accent On. And, of course, you can go also to LA Talk Radio and just find it on the channel first.
And
one.
Stitcher.
And Stitcher right now. And we love Ronan because he's so sweet. He's just in right now in a studio in LA, and he's just taking care of all the phones for us and songs. Then I would just take this from Maui to everybody, to John, to Dr. DJ, and Scott and Jonathan. I love you guys. And, of course, my dear Stephanie, she's just my brain sometimes, and I love her too.
Remember, honey, when all else is going wrong, remember this. You got an accent.
Yes, for all accented people, I just say, stay in power. I love you guys, and next week we'll be talking about great, great lunch, breakfast, and dinner, and something between, okay?
Cut the toes out of your socks,
sounds
everybody.
Great.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye. Hi, Roman.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd right here on LA Talk Radio.